Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Satan has covered the world with seminarians so that when you and I, when we evangelize, we have no one to send them to help disciple them. Now, there's a difference between discipling someone and making disciples. The Bible never says, the King James Bible never says, go make disciples. That's a recipe for disaster, because as we've seen, people will make disciples after themselves and not after Christ. So the word discipleship, not making disciples, is operative here, and it's essential that you and I feed the flock of God. John chapter 21, verses 15 through 17, Jesus instructs his disciples this way. He's speaking to Peter. So when they had dined, they dined. Jesus and his disciples ate together. They did a lot of natural things together. And that's the platform or the lifestyle, the context of much of Jesus's teaching. He didn't have to go set up a building and put a piece of wood up there with a pulpit. I'm not saying that's all bad, but our lives more and more as the return of Christ nears are going to be more natural. They're going to be more of a lifestyle, everyday setting, because first of all, that's what the disciples and that's what Christ did. And also because the buildings have long ago been taken over by the seminarians who are making merchandise of the people and not giving them the pure word of God. But you and I are going to do that, and we're going to become more and more assertive in that responsibility. And maybe this message is being spoken to simply encourage and edify you. We don't have to have a degree. In fact, if you got a degree, a Bible college or a seminary degree, I want to encourage you to repent of trying to get men to prepare you to do God's work and to denounce it openly before God and man, that you trash this piece of paper that you paid good money to buy and so-called earn, and that you depend on Christ and his word from that moment forward. You no longer call yourself a seminarian, a doctor, or a degreed Bible college person. Now, we did a message recently that's absolutely explosive called Satan's Seminarians. It's got text and it's a podcast, and I want to encourage you to share that with somebody else too, or other believers. In fact, it goes into the origins of seminaries and how they started with the Catholic Church, which means they are cursed from the start. And then they were picked up, seminaries, by the Protestants. And this is how Satan has filled the world with his agents, as Paul speaks of them, his ministers, or Satan's ministers, pretending to be the children of Christ in 2 Corinthians 11. And what they're doing is they are making twofold and threefold more children of hell, as Jesus said in Matthew 23:15. They're reproducing after their own kind. So you can't depend on these local churches to edify anybody, much less disciple them. Those go together, of course. And so you and I are going to have to be more and more diligent as we do the work of an evangelist, 2 Timothy 4, verse 5, as we preach the word to in a lifestyle manner. Now, the technology we have today helps us. You know, we got WhatsApp, we got telephone, you know, cell phones, we got email, and to exhort one another in the Lord. That's what the Bible says we're to do. We are to exhort one another daily, right? Exhort one another daily. While we see the day of Christ drawing near, Hebrews 3:13, but exhort one another daily. Notice daily, while it is this call today, in other words, in the now, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And oh, don't every one of us know how just a minute or a few minutes or an hour or a few hours can make a difference. And we can be used and others can be used in our lives to exhort one another, lest we allow darkness to seep in through the deceitfulness of sin as it entices us to partake of it. Again, Hebrews 3:13, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. In the book of Acts, right after Pentecost, when the church was born, Acts 2:42, it says, and they continued steadfastly. This is after many were saved. Hallelujah. And the scripture says in verse 40 of Acts 2, save yourselves. They exhorted and testified, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation, this generation that doesn't have a heart after God. It's fallen. Then they that gladly received the word were baptized. They were saved, and then they were water baptized as a public profession of their new life in Christ, that they were dead, buried, and raised up in Christ from that moment forward. And the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And who preached to them that day? Well, I guess you could say the Holy Ghost did, through a man named Peter, who had just denied, days before, had just denied Christ three times. I don't know about you, but that gives me great hope. God still restores, he forgives, and he uses those who are available to him, those who love him, those who cry out, Lord, you must increase, but I must decrease. Use me, O God, in Jesus' name. Prepare, purge, set me apart, sanctify this vessel to be a vessel unto honor and meet or fit for the master's use. 2 Timothy 2:21. Then it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. What is the apostles' doctrine? Well, the apostles' doctrine is the doctrines Christ taught to his apostles, who then took them to the world, and now we have them on record in the Holy Scriptures. Oh, what a blessing it is that we have God's word in print, the very thoughts of his heart given to us, Psalm 33:11, on the pages of Scripture, tangible, so that we're fed, nourished, strengthened in him, wise in him, and protected from being deceived, which we're going to get back to talking about here in just a minute. Notice, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Are you continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine? You know, it's difficult to find anyone who's actually teaching Christology or teaching the who Jesus Christ is and why he came. That's amazing. But again, that's what seminaries have done. They have filled the pulpits of the land all over the world with false prophets of one flavor or the other. And that was Satan. Satan is the god of this world, and he's come down with great wrath, knowing that he hath but a short time. And so Satan couldn't stop the Bible from being the best-selling book by millions of miles. It's not even close. So he changed the Bible. You see, that's why we got the proliferation of all these fake Bibles. In other words, the non-King James Bibles. And that's easily proven in about 3 seconds when you start throwing out whole verses that were removed, and how the blood was removed from verses like Colossians 1:14, etc. So he couldn't stop the proliferation of and the sale of Bibles. So he changed the Bibles. Now you go in a so-called Christian bookstore and you got one little section where they have King James Bibles, and you got every bit of the next 30 feet of Bibles is what? It's fake Bibles, pretending to be something new and something better. What a joke. Satan was the first one to cast out on the Bible the words of God and change the Bible, change the words God had spoken in Genesis 3. That's foundational. Okay, so we have fake Bibles. We have fake pastors. All the seminarians who haven't repented and denounced it are absolutely fake. They're false. They're the agents of Satan. And just as Satan replaced the word of God with counterfeit so-called Bibles, he's also replaced God-fearing men with seminarians, a eternal world or universe apart, mutually exclusive, actually. One is of the kingdom of Christ, and the other is of the kingdom of darkness of Satan. So if you are a born-again and abiding in Christ disciple and can't find a biblically based local church, you are definitely not alone, and it's only because you love Jesus and His truth, His word. The epidemic apostasy we are witnessing at the local church level is the prophesied and intended outcome of Satan's long-term plan, commandeered largely through his seminarian wolves. In fact, the Bible foretold that Satan in the final days would come down with great wrath, knowing that he hath but a short time, and that men would depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And what we're seeing is a manifestation of just these things that were foretold. You see, in earlier centuries, beginning at Pentecost, Satan couldn't slow or stop the spread of the gospel through crucified with Christ, Holy Spirit-filled, God-fearing, truth-loving, powerful disciples, witnesses of Christ. Do we recall how Acts 17:6 says that these disciples turned the world upside down? And so Satan devised a plan thereafter to replace those gospel disciples, those true saints of Christ, with the prophesied wolves that we see on the scene now through seminaries, largely just before the return of Christ. Remember, Paul said, as he was inspired by the Holy Spirit, that we were to commit these things to faithful men. And yet today we have so many unfaithful men that are willing to go to seminary or Bible college to pay for a degree so that they can have a profession, they can be professional pastors and carry on in a mere form of godliness. Most of them have never even been born again. And any of us who have been to Bible colleges or seminaries that are truly born again actually understand that. So after these men get saved, if they actually get saved, instead of living a crucified life, a life of prayer, being full of the Word of God, studying to show themselves approved unto God, and learning from the elders around them, they go to Bible college or to seminary to somehow be prepared to do God's work. So they're going to go into a lion's den of wicked wolves, of men of wicked hearts. Religious men, Pharisees, they're the Pharisees of our day, and they're going to be taught and turned into twofold more children of hell. I believe that's Matthew 23:15. Through these seminarian systems, which were created by the Catholic Church. And so instead of committing the gospel, the Word of God, to faithful men, after the Catholic Church invented seminaries, the Protestants followed suit, and they started their own seminaries, which are now and have been from the beginning manned, if you will, with false prophets, people that care about a profession. They have no passion for Jesus and His truth because they're not born again. And that's how the world of church, or the church world, has come to be what it is today. It's been going on for hundreds of years, actually. So that's why we have fake churches, right? And we got a fake Jesus. This is all biblical. Paul said, if they preach any other gospel, let them be accursed. And he's speaking specifically about another gospel, another Jesus, and perpetrated by and influenced by another spirit, a demon. See, this is how Satan has come down with great wrath. He has filled the land with degreed professional clergy who earned a degree, who bought a degree, to go out now and be a salesman for a denomination because they get 10% or whatever it is off every penny or dollar that their wolves, which they have proliferated across the land and littered the landscape with, they get a cut out of that. So they'll gladly take you in, Matthew 23, and make a wolf out of you to the two or threefold degree, multiplicity of wolves spread across the land through the seminary system. Again, I want you to listen to Satan's Seminarians and share it with other believers so that they can be warned and escape this and know what they're walking into with eyes open, biblically discerning everything. So notice the edification of the body of Christ comes from Jesus being lifted up. Amen. Colossians 2:18 and 19. Nourishment flows from heaven into the vessels. The virtue of heaven flows into the vessels of honor, the vessels of God who are living to elevate Jesus Christ. Isn't that beautiful? We read that in Colossians 2. Colossians chapter 1 and 2 are paramount on who Christ is and why he came and how he is our treasure and our wisdom. And we must uphold him and beware of false prophets. Again, Colossians 1 and 2. And let me throw this in there. And specifically concerning true fellowship, which will always elevate and glorify Jesus Christ. Next time, I want to encourage you in this message to be creative as God has made that available to you and given you the faculties to be creative, biblically and prayerfully, of course, in the sense that, let me explain that. How about emailing or texting or calling a brother and say, hey, let's have coffee Tuesday morning. And listen, I'm checking out this verse that I want you to give me insight on also. Let's talk about it when we get together. Throw a verse out there, Acts 2:42. As an example, the Bible is a gold mine of biblical wisdom and nuggets. Amen. Or how about this? Then one of the next stops. Let's talk about the first few verses in John 1 and who Jesus is. Let's talk about the importance as a born-again believer of being baptized with the Holy Ghost. Let's talk about Acts 2. Just throw it out there. You don't have to prepare some big sermon. That's a staged show in most cases. Go and just nibble on a verse together, a truth, and talk about it between fellowship one with another. Isn't that easy? Have a good cup of coffee, and then the setting is such that you don't have your clown suit on, your little Pharisee suit that we're all trained to put on when we walk into the so-called church building. You don't have all that pretension and plastic foolishness. You're there to love Jesus, to pray for and edify one another and exalt him. And as we do, the virtue of Jesus is going to flow down into each one of us. Hallelujah. Notice Colossians 2:18 and 19. Let no man beguile or deceive you of your reward. God's salvation in Christ would be your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels. Beware of putting the emphasis on angels instead of Jesus. Hello. Or anything or anyone that comes to steal the glory from the one and only nail-scarred, risen Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what this is talking about. Okay, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. And here, watch this. And not holding or upholding the head, capital H, Jesus. Hello, the kingdom of Christ, the kingdom of God is all about King Jesus. Amen. And saints, we must always remember that Christ organic and real body is not about some church or pastor. So when we read here in Colossians 2 about not holding the head, not upholding and exalting Christ, and not holding, not worshiping, that would be not exalting, not adoring, not obeying, glorifying Jesus, the head. Notice, and not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. Now, how is it and when is it that the body of Christ, as he gives illustration of here, receives nourishment ministered from heaven so that we're knit together and we're increasing with the increase of God? Notice, with the increase of God, you see, God alone can give us increase, can minister to us, can pour his virtue into us. And we see in this context that it's only going to happen when two or more of his saints gather together around the throne of the Father and Jesus himself, who is said right here in this very chapter of Colossians 2, that all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are found in the person of Jesus Christ, whom we learn about and who is magnified from Genesis to Revelation. He is the sacred substance of all of Scripture. Jesus Christ is the central theme of the Bible. And so if we have missed him, then we have missed everything. In fact, this very book, the next chapter, Colossians 3, 16, instructs us to let the word of Christ, which reveals him, let it dwell in you richly or abundantly, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You know, it's very difficult not to get real excited for every one of us who have somewhere along the line experienced true fellowship with one or more members of the body of Christ. It's so rich when we have no agenda but then to be crucified with Christ, to magnify and exalt the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who created all that is and came and died for us, was buried and raised again from the dead. We live to magnify, to glorify our coming King, Jesus Christ. Amen. And I think our problem is that we still think it's about us and not him. And that's why we have to have the cross, the crucified life, so that we are diminishing. He is increasing and we are decreasing. And as we do, we're going to be able to magnify and see Jesus more and more for who he is. And so, as we follow the instructions of Colossians 3, beginning in verse 1, where we set our affection on things above, not on the things of the earth, we are now risen with Christ. We are dead, and our lives are hid with Christ in God. And we're looking for the King who's coming soon. This is Colossians 3, 1 through 4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, we're going to appear with him also in glory. Now, this is what real fellowship is looking like here. First, it's upward, and then God fills those vessels as they exalt him, Christ, that is, with his virtue. And we increase with the increase of God. He's right in the middle of that. Have you ever had good fellowship? Sometimes it's with one other person, and you just walk away so full of the Holy Ghost. You could just dance. You could just minister. You could just praise God the rest of the day. Amen? And that's because Jesus is being lifted up. Not you, not them. Christ. And then everybody else is filled. The cross is first upward, and then it's outward. And so we are to set our affection, saints, on things above, not on things on the earth, so that when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory, praise God. So that's what the believers were doing in Acts 2. And we're not even getting started on this subject, but this is so blessed, this truth about edifying one another in fellowship as we exalt Christ, that I believe this will fuel us. Okay, so, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayer. So just simple. Notice how simple this was. The fellowship of the saints right after the church began and many were born again. They didn't set up some kind of bureaucracy. That's what we have in churches today. And that all comes out of the seminary system. And it completely quenches the spirit because it's not about Jesus. It's about them and their perpetuation of their own existence and building their own church businesses. Don't kid yourself. If you're given to anything but men or a man that is actually doing the work of God with no bureaucracy, you're wasting every penny of it, and you're going to give account to God because you're fueling the false prophets. You're fueling them, and you're bidding Godspeed to them, and you're going to be judged with them. 2 John verses 9 through 11. So what does fellowship look like in the body of Christ? Here it is. continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That's the word of God. We got it on record now. The four gospels and the ensuing books, 27 books of the New Testament canon. So they continue steadfastly in just like four things. The apostles' doctrine, that's the word of God. Fellowship. Who says fellowship is ever sitting down, everybody shutting up and listening to one man preach for an hour? That's not bad. But if that's all it is, no, something's wrong. Okay, so the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, the word fellowship with one another around the throne of Christ, amen, living stones, 1 Peter 2, verse 5 and 9, and breaking bread, eat something together, do communion, coffee, natural. See how natural it is? That's been stolen through the seminary system. And prayers. Hey, brother, how can I pray for you before we leave? Hey, sister, can we pray together? I want to lift you up and ask God to bless you and your beautiful family. That's real fellowship. Amen. Okay, there's so much that could be said here, but we're just talking surface level about it. Notice, to encourage and exhort the body of Christ. You don't need some stupid building that's designated as the church building, you know, where you go in there and it's run by some real estate manager who is a fraud, a seminary and fraud, a wolf in sheep's clothing. That doesn't constitute fellowship in the body of Christ. In fact, in the book of Acts, you see where in chapter 19, verse 9 and 10, for example, Paul took them out. The real believers are out. It was a church split from the synagogues. The official church buildings, that is. You don't see much about synagogues after that. They went in there to preach to get them saved, and some did and some wouldn't, and they got out of there. You don't need a building. You are God's building, 1 Corinthians 3:9. Did Christ or his apostles ever collect a penny to erect a so-called designated official church building? No, not once, not one penny. So Jesus tells Peter, if you love me, feed my sheep, right? John 21:15-17. If you love me, feed my sheep, feed them. But wait a minute, brother, how can I feed the sheep of God? Well, number one, you're saved. Boom. Doesn't matter if you got saved yesterday. You know, we got a guy here in Mexico, Luis. What a precious young man. Every time I see him, we preached to him one day. It was a miracle deal where I was talking to him and I asked him, you know, some things about where to find stuff in the store that he works in. And when he really liked me for some reason, we hit it off. And he said, man, tell me something else you've learned in Spanish. And I said, well, Jesucristo reina para siempre. Jesus Christ reigns forever. And as I was saying that, literally in lockstep, this pastor is walking around the corner of that aisle. And I'm looking that pastor straight in the eyes and telling him Jesus Christ reigns forever. Having never seen this pastor previous to that. Well, it was a God moment, no doubt, like a miracle. And so the pastor started ministering to Luis. And I'm told that he led Luis to Jesus. And anyway, so every time I see Luis now, the first thing he tells me, and he just got saved, apparently, or he might not even be saved yet. He's telling me, put God first. And he's saying it with conviction. I mean, put God first. He's preaching to me. And I'm like, hallelujah. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. So you don't have to be a mature Christian. You're growing and everybody else around you is growing and will never stop growing. And growing as a believer, a born again disciple of Jesus is very important. John 15. So feed my sheep is very simple. What do you do? Well, break out the, you know, when somebody comes to your house, you open the pantry and the refrigerator and you break out the goods and you cook something for them. Give them something to drink, right? Right. Well, we got the treasure chest in the pantry and the refrigerator of the Word of God. Let's just feed together on it. Feed my sheep. John 21:15-17. Let's pray, saints. Heavenly Father, we ask you right now in the name of Jesus to help us to edify one another, to prefer one another above ourselves, Lord, to feast on your word and to magnify you, Lord Jesus, the eternal word, the Lamb of God, the Almighty, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, who was and who is and is to come. Lord, let us be set, our affections set upon thee, O God, as we look for your soon return, dear Lord Jesus. Let us be dead and our lives hid with Christ in God, so that you're raising us up to edify your body and to do the work of an evangelist. In the name of Jesus, amen. Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen.